This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
We're bringing back biodiversity, sequestering carbon into land, re-establishing nutrition in our food sources are all exciting potentials.
How is blockchain connected to healing the earth? This week's guest on Sea Change Radio can explain. He's Christian Shearer, the CEO of Regen Network. We discuss his company's business model, how Regen Network might help stem the tide of big agriculture, and the differences between permaculture and regenerative farming. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Christian Shearer. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Regen Network. Christian, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks a lot, Alex. I'm glad to be on.
So you are based in Wyoming, correct?
I live just on the border of Wyoming in eastern Idaho, in Teton Valley, Idaho, just over the pass from Jackson Hole, Wyoming, an incredibly beautiful area. You know, we have wolves out in the forest. We have grizzly bears out in the forest. It's a really special spot.
And I want to learn more about Regen Network. Its tagline is realigning the economics of agriculture. What kind of impact can you make in the Tetons to kind of realign the economics of agriculture? What's the mission of Regen Network?
Sure. So Regen Network is a global company. So we are doing a little bit here in Teton Valley, Idaho, with some of the agriculture here, but we're not locally focused. So just to zoom back out a little bit, I would say one of our biggest assumptions is that agriculture is potentially the most important intervention node in terms of solving some of the world's most challenging problems. I'm talking about clearly ecological problems, carbon sequestration challenges, global warming, but also, you know, rural community issues and the plight of farmers and nutrition, et cetera. So, and then in our relationship with farmers, we have learned that finances are the biggest factor in a farmer's life. And for the most part, finances are not working very well in the world of agriculture. You know, most farmers have margins of 1-3% and regularly lose money, depending on the year. So if the financial situation could be improved while, you know, correlated with inviting farmers to practice more environmentally friendly farming practices, we could have rapid adoption of what we're calling regenerative agriculture, which would, you know, aid in the rapid reversal of global climate change.
And I want to learn more about some of your global efforts. Regen Network has a partnership with Rainforest Foundation, and you're doing some pretty interesting stuff in the Peruvian Amazon. Why don't you kind of give us a little bit more information on how that's all coming about?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're building, so we believe that agriculture is really important. We know that farmers have a financial squeeze. We also know that there's a lot of parties around the world that are interested in solving this climate change problem, right? And there's a bunch of finances that are there as well. So what we're building at Regen Network is a contracting platform that makes it really easy for institutional partners to make contracts with one or many farmers and ranchers on the ground. And at the center of those contracts are verified ecological change in practice, change in impact, or change in practice, right? Mm-hmm. So let me give you an example. You brought up the Rainforest Foundation. And though in this case, it isn't focused on agriculture, it's still a very similar use case. We have this community of indigenous peoples that are living down in the Peruvian Amazon that are working to protect their land. You know, the current economic system incentivizes them to cut their trees down because the timber is very valuable. But there's nothing that's incentivizing them to not cut their trees down. So that's where the Rainforest Foundation comes in. They're saying, look, there are a lot of interested parties that are interested in having you maintain the health of your forests over time. And we can raise money to help reward you for that practice of protecting and maintaining your forests. So how exactly does Regen Network work in that way? Basically, what we're doing is we asked Rainforest Foundation, what's the minimum viable amount of data that you would need to feel comfortable making a financial payment to these people for the quote-unquote protection of their forest? And we went through a design exercise with them. And what it turns out is that community is using a tool called Global Forest Watch, which is a tool put out by the World Resource Institute that basically gives alerts whenever the Amazon forest has changed in some way. Like if a road is being put in or some area has been clear cut, there will then be an alert letting them know that that's happened. Because they live on a very big piece of land, those alerts are really helpful. So the data we're collecting to verify whether they did their job or not is actually data associated with the movement of their phones around the land and the capturing of photographs associated with those locations that Global Forest Watch indicated. So we can see the fact that these protectors of the land have moved around the land and visited all those locations that have had some sort of damage or change happen to them. And we can see the photographs that they've taken, which they then, of course, have also submitted to local law enforcement agencies so that the local law enforcement can crack down on whoever is doing the illegal deforestation. When that verification is made, that data comes in, runs through our algorithm, and the algorithm says, yep, you are verified to have done the required practices, go ahead and transfer the money. And so then the donor gets a clear tracing and trackability of what their money is going to and a verification of the fact that the people actually did what the donor agreed to in the contract. And of course, the people on the ground get rewarded for protecting that forest.
What percentage of Regen Network's value proposition is technology then?
A pretty high percentage. We have a fairly interesting technology stack that makes all this possible. And we definitely consider ourselves a technology company. You know, we're not doing much. We're not doing the training on the ground. There are local organizations that will be engaged to do that work. We're just doing the verification and the execution of the contracts itself. And another piece of this that to make all that possible is an underlying infrastructure layer. So we're actually building a whole open source platform that engages with data modules and contracting modules and blockchain technology for the trust and transparency aspects that brings, and then building our contracting layer on top of that.
So how would the blockchain element work within this system of yours?
Sure. So there's a number of different features that the blockchain brings into this. A first is a trusted governance model. So the blockchain itself will be governed by a set of known actors, and we have a nonprofit foundation that's a part of that process, and there's a consortium of members that run that nonprofit, and they're all transparent about the fact that they're involved and what kind of governance decisions they're making in the system. So these are organizations like Kiss the Ground, which is a soil advocacy group, organization like Fibershed, which is a locally grown and produced fashion organization, organizations like Savory Institute, which is primarily an animal management organization that's kind of mimicking natural processes. So very trusted and true organizations that care a lot about sustainability and regeneration are the governing body behind the blockchain itself. In addition to that, and maybe potentially more importantly, though they dovetail, is that blockchain allows what we call an immutable ledger of transactions. And when you're thinking about something like Bitcoin, those transactions are all financial transactions. But in the case of Regen Network, those transactions are actually the logging of ecological data itself with a timestamp associated, with a geolocation associated with it. and that gets put into a ledger that can never be altered. So the idea being that there is now a public open infrastructure to understand ecological data and ecological state of our planet. And that is essential for us to be able to make shifts in our economy based around ecological knowledge.
This week's show is dedicated to the memory of Art Neville, who passed away at the age of 81.
This is Alex Wise on SeaChange Radio. I'm speaking to the CEO of ReGen Network, Christian Scheer. So Christian, your technology seems like it's a great fit for fragile agricultural systems, ecologically fragile areas. But what about trying to penetrate some of the big agricultural efforts that are so damaging to soil and our economy in a lot of ways in this country? How can an organization like ReGen Network help, let's say, a farmer that's right now kind of tied to Cargill and doing X amount of soybeans?
Sure, absolutely. That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked it because it's really, really important and actually very exciting what is possible there. So with conventional farming, with monocrop farming of soy, corn, you know, our grains, et cetera, it's very much down the Monsanto, Bayer, John Deere precision agriculture route, you know, and those companies are all saying, this is how you do agriculture. You just get more and more precise, and we're going to use a little bit less water and a little less chemicals each year, and we're going to get better and better and better. That entire paradigm just leads us towards a future that is a robotics agriculture future, where the population of human beings becomes more urbanized and less people interact with the landscape. And it all just becomes, quote unquote, very efficient ways of growing our food. And I often get the question, can we actually feed the world in a different way than that? And the answer is absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. Those companies and all the research behind that have a particular aim, which is to make a lot of money for their corporate interests, right? And that money is made by selling chemicals and selling diesel, selling tractors, et cetera. So to get back to your question, how does ReGen Network work with this? What's really exciting is that there's an emerging understanding about practices like no-till agriculture and cover cropping. And especially when that's combined with a little bit of animal rotation, we find the re-establishment of natural systems in the soil. A huge amount of carbon sequestration, the growth in soil from, you know, oftentimes from 0.5% or 1% soil organic matter, you know, up to 3%, 5%, and even, you know, upwards of 10% on these lands. And soil organic matter is made out of carbon. So this has a huge interest to anybody on the planet that has an interest in reversing global climate change. So I'm talking about the United Nations. I'm talking about the 185 countries that have ratified the Paris Climate Accord. And so how does ReGen Network fit into this? Well, the NRCS, which is a United States government organization that works with the USDA, and the Nature Conservancy and a number of other groups are working right now to try to incentivize farmers to shift towards no-till practices. And what they're generally finding is that farmers will lose a little bit of profitability a little bit of yield in the first couple of years. And then after those first couple of years, once those living soil systems have established themselves again, the profitability of farmers comes up and exceeds their previous farming strategies. So what Regen Network can do in this is that we can provide the verification of the fact that farmers have switched to no-till and cover cropping, allowing organizations like the Nature Conservancy or the NRCS to not have to spend all the time and effort to verify that those practices have actually happened. I mean, we literally can do that at an order of magnitude lower cost than what is currently happening.
And could it be working in concert with some of these less environmentally kind practices, or is it kind of mutually exclusive?
No, absolutely. It's, you know, this whole realm is dominated by what we call conventional farmers. These are folks that don't necessarily have an environmental belt bend to them. They are not necessarily interested in global climate change. What they're really interested in is their farm enterprise, right? And they have grown soy and corn for their entire lives, and their father grew soy and corn, and even their grandfather grew soy and corn. So it's not really practical to ask them to change everything about the way that they work. So we're not even necessarily asking them to turn organic. But check this out. I love this so much. I was at the No-Till on the Plains conference in Wichita, Kansas, and I was talking to a farmer there. And he told me, you know, I don't think there's anything ethically wrong with spraying chemicals. Like, you know, all these greenies tell me that it's bad and it's killing the rivers. And he's like, I've never seen any evidence of that myself. But I'll tell you what, every gallon of chemicals that I have to spray means a bear is taking money out of my pocket. He said, now that I've switched to no-till and cover cropping, I'm spraying 80% less chemicals and I'm using far less diesel than before. And he said, that I can celebrate. And I love that, because these are the guys that we need to be working with. There are literally hundreds of millions of acres under conventional cropping cultivation practices. And if they were to switch to no-till and cover cropping, even if they didn't go fully organic, that would have a huge environmental impact on the planet.
And then let's think about distribution. How does Regen Network reach out to these people in mass? How do you become part of perhaps a policymaker's package? I've been hearing more and more of Democratic politicians talking about regenerative agriculture practices. How can Regen Network be part of that solution?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we are agreed that we need to accelerate the adoption of practices that reverse global climate change as rapidly as we possibly can, Regen Network has a really important role to play in that. You know, we provide the ability for a government to make contracts with their with the farmers. You know, potentially at the center of those contracts is even tax breaks or subsidies for their practices. If they are verified to have switched towards a practice that the government is trying to incentivize, then the government can give them those payments. We literally can do that at an order of magnitude less cost than it's currently costing government organizations who are going around and like driving around and verifying the fact that farmers are practicing these practices on a one-by-one basis. If we're going to scale this to millions of acres, the technology that Regen Network is providing is a perfect solution for that.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking to Christian Shearer. He is the CEO of Regen Network. So Christian, tell us a little bit more about your background. How did you start Regen Network and get involved in the agricultural space?
I've been working in ecological agriculture for the past 15 years, actually. That's my background. So I'm not actually from a, I don't actually have a technology background. And fortunately, I've been able to surround myself with people that are much smarter than me in those realms, which is feels really good. But I lived and worked in Southeast Asia for a long time, worked with smallholder farmers in Thailand, Laos, Malaysia, the Philippines, and more recently been able to work with farmers here in the United States and just really deeply felt for and understood the challenge that they're all facing in trying to make ends meet for their children, you know, sending their children to college and providing health care for their families, et cetera. While simultaneously understanding the incredible potential that we have through the node of agriculture to create ecological abundance on this planet. I mean, we're bringing back biodiversity, sequestering carbon into land, reestablishing nutrition in our food sources are all exciting potentials. So I started a company called TerraGenesis International with a number of other really amazing people about a decade ago. We have been working with natural products companies, a lot of brands that you would find in Whole Foods, and helping them as they're considering how do we shift beyond organic to something, you know, organic is kind of like a sustainable solution. It's trying to like, you know, sustain. How do we switch towards a supply for our ingredients that actually is like verifiably making the world a better place? I mean, these companies would love for you when you buy a drink from their brand that they can actually make a claim that you made the world a better place by buying that drink. And so, you know, these companies would approach us and say like, wow, regenerative agriculture, this is amazing. Can you hook us up with a supply for, you know, for coconuts, for cinnamon, for, you know, whatever it is they need? And we basically had to say, no, we can't. It's not there. If you want to engage in this space, we want to help you figure out how to make an investments into your existing supply systems to upgrade the capacity of those farmers to become more biodiverse, to build their soils, to sequester more carbon, et cetera. And so it was from our work with those brands that we realized there was no good infrastructure for those brands to make clear, transparent, and trusted claims about the impact that they were involved with on the ground, and to make agreements with the farmers that they were working with based on the verified outcomes. And that's where we started, and that's where we're currently, you know, running pilot projects to prove this concept and moving forward as quickly as we can.
And what is the difference between permaculture and regenerative agriculture? I know they're different things, but maybe you can kind of spell out some of the buzzwords that people are hearing a lot from progressive, future-looking farmers.
Sure. So first of all, there's a bunch of different definitions of regenerative agriculture. So I'm just going to share with you the one that I believe most deeply. Permaculture is a set of principles and practices that have been known to work well around the planet. If you employ those practices on a piece of land, generally you're going to see a really positive impact, right? Regenerative agriculture invites you to have a context-specific relationship with that specific piece of land and that location. And my belief is that the combination of that context-specific relationship, you know, understanding your local wild areas and your local watershed, and combining that with the best practices of permaculture would be incredibly powerful and transformative. And many, many permaculturists are doing that. They're succeeding it. And there's many that aren't. There's many that are basically just taking the practices they've been taught in some course and they're sticking them onto their piece of land. So an example that would be, I'm just going to use my specific watershed right here in Teton Valley, Idaho. An example of applying permaculture without regeneration to the land here in Idaho would be that you traveled to New Mexico, you took a permaculture design course with a really inspiring teacher, and when you got home, you implemented swales and you put in a herb spiral and you did everything that teacher said was best practices in permaculture. But you haven't actually taken the time to understand the uniqueness and the beauty of this specific place. Teton Valley, Idaho is a very unique and beautiful expression of natural systems. And that needs to be respected and leaned into. And when you do that, you discover that actually swales probably don't work in this landscape because it's all glacial till. And if you put a swale in, you're just going to lose all the water straight down into the ground. You might discover that there's incredible fruits that the people down in Mexico never introduce you to. We have choke cherries, and we have service berries, and we have high mountain huckleberries, all things which, like, you know, feed grizzly bears and can fully feed us. You know, trying to grow apples and plums and cherries can work here. It just doesn't work very well. So let's look at currants and service berries and choke cherries and things like that.
And so what's the current headcount and what's your business model moving forward?
Sure. We currently have 13 people on paid staff at Regen Network. We've been growing our team quite a bit. And we're currently in a fundraising round to be able to grow our team and grow our capacity further. We are in the early stages of developing our product. And part of that is we're using the lean development process where we're really meticulously testing our assumptions and starting out with a very simple version of what we eventually would like to see. And then getting paid opportunities to employ that simple version and getting really good feedback from those who use it. Part of that process right now has us running three pilot projects. One we mentioned earlier with the Rainforest Foundation and the protection of indigenous lands. The second is with a consortium of chocolate companies here in the United States and a regenerative cacao cooperative in Ecuador. And then the third is working with conventional farmers here in the United States on no-till and cover cropping. Our business model will be down the line once we get our platform up and running the way we envision it, will be a platform business model where whenever a contract is executed between two parties, whatever the payment is of that contract, will take a small percentage of that payment.
Understanding your company from a listener standpoint is one thing, but what would you like them to be able to say to their friends or neighbors when they pass along information about Regen Network? What are kind of some of the takeaways that you want listeners to have about understanding what you guys do?
One thing I want people to be clear about with Regen Network is that we're not a techno fix to the future, right? We're not employing technology and using robotics to grow all of our food. We honestly believe that the future of food and the future of this planet involves human beings having deep and meaningful relationships with their landscapes. What we at Regen Network are doing, we aren't doing the regeneration itself. What we're doing is shining a light on those farmers that are playing that stewardship role and building financial mechanisms so that they can do that and be rewarded for doing that even better and better over time.
Christian Shearer from Regen Network. Christian, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's been a real pleasure.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise.
Additional music by The Meters and Art Neville. May he rest in peace.
Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.